true crime podcast where best friends and next-door neighbors, Willow and Lillian, spill the tea on murder, mysteries, and other things that go bump in the night. So get your favorite teacup ready, and let's get into it.
Welcome to Cruelty Podcast. This is Lillian, and with me is Willow.
Hello.
Hello, and we have a new theme.
We do.
We didn't announce it last time because we made this decision last fucking minute.
Yep.
Yes, mm-hmm. We did. Mm-hmm. This month's theme is dating app murders.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
As a single person, I'm not on the apps for this reason.
Yeah.
Terrifies me.
We've covered a few before, like the Craigslist killer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this time we're going to kind of focus on it. And I'm not going to pick any from Craigslist.
Okay.
Because it wasn't traditionally a dating app. I'm only...
Oh, I had a roommate that used it as a dating app.
I've used it,
it was
as
creepy.
A sex worker app, yeah. Back in the day.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But anyway, trigger warnings. Actually, we don't have too many. Just murder.
Okay.
Abuse of a corpse.
Oh.
Not sexually...
Okay.
So I don't think there's any of that, actually. If there was, it was not reported on, so I'm not going there. This case is brutal, though, and heartbreaking, and wouldn't have been solved if not for the friends of the victims. This is the case of Khalil Wheeler Weaver. So this story features the dating app Tagged, and I had never heard of it until researching this episode.
I've never heard of it.
It's free to use, and it's much like Hinge or Tinder, where it kind of matches you with people in your area for dates and hookups. It has some other features, but we're not going to really get into them because they don't really apply to this case. But yeah, it's where, like... Before I was married, I didn't use apps at all, so I'm not surprised I haven't heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
I used OkCupid and Plenty of Fish, but they weren't apps at the time, they were websites. I didn't own a cell phone.
Right.
Until, like, 2013.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I just didn't see any reason to, and now, of course, I would die without my phone.
Right, yeah.
I would pass away. You mean to tell me I'm supposed to go back to reading the shampoo bottles to take a poopy?
No.
No. I need to go into Reddit. Okay, but yeah. And dating apps for me were just the absolute cesspools of humanity. Like, OkCupid was better than Plenty of Fish, but not much.
I'm terrified.
Just the dregs. It was a nightmare.
Although I really like reading other people's screenshots of what people say.
It's not fun when it happens to you.
No. That's why I'm in the groups. So I can read other people's drama. But...
And really, I would just, if I were single right now, because the apps are... wasteland of pain, mm-hmm. I would just make an AI boyfriend. Just fuck it. Just say nasty shit to me. You know, I'll get off and go to bed after I smoke a bowl. Why need a man? Huh? Okay. Moving along. So our fuck off mouth. Our story starts in Orange, New Jersey on April 20th, 1996 when Khalil Wheeler Weaver was born. Ironically, he came from, you know, usually these cases are like, came from a terrible family, was horrifically abused. Not the case. Very good family, loving family, close family. Stepfather was a detective.
Mm.
So was his uncle. He even had aspirations of becoming a cop himself. Now, not a lot is said about his early life. Khalil didn't have a social life in high school, like at all. Never had a girlfriend. Didn't really have friends. He was described as very, like, kind of nerdy in appearance, and he had a bit of a baby face. He looked kind of just like a sweet, innocent nerd. Like, he tucked in his shirts into his khakis, he wore white sneakers, and so everybody assumed he came from a really good family. He wasn't really picked on very much, he really kept to himself. But I think it's curious that he didn't really have any friends. No girlfriends. And it makes me think, well... maybe there was some autism going on, you know?
Yeah.
Because my youngest...
I was about to say, described him to a T.
Yeah, he's not going to murder people. No. John is a sweet angel baby.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most tender, loving, heart, like, sticky, gooey heart people you'd ever meet. He just don't talk.
Yeah.
But it's not that he couldn't talk, he just didn't. And later he would go on to start, like, after high school, he kind of came out of his shell a little bit more. He would go on to start a YouTube channel where he would do DJ-style music, and he did have some friends. He got a job as a security guard in a grocery store, and, like, all during him committing these heinous acts, he is searching up, like, how to become a cop. Like, getting information on
that.
So
he would have gotten away with this.
Oh, he absolutely would have.
Oh, it would have been bad.
He would, I think he killed more than he was caught for killing. Oh. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he was a monster. And I'm glad he's off the streets. But yeah, I just think, I just wonder about people, because this happens a lot that you notice in cases that we cover where usually the male perpetrator looks into becoming a cop. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were several serial mm-hmm. killers that looked into becoming a police officer. Mm-hmm. And the Golden State Killer is a good example. Yep. And I just think, what are you, why? You know, it just seems like you're on the opposite end. Why would you?
Well, I mean, I get it.
Ease of access yeah. to victims, being evidence. Beneath suspicion, can tamper with evidence, yeah. You know, maybe influence the course of an investigation.
Right. And what year, like what time frame did this take place?
2016.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, and they could fuck with paperwork, but
no,
it's kind of
no paperwork fucking with here. But I wonder if part of it was that he admired his stepfather and uncle mm-hmm. and wanted to follow in their footsteps. Maybe he thought that was what would kind of turn things around for him.
Or it was already so familiar because he grew up around it.
Thought that too, that it's just mm-hmm. an easy answer, you yeah. know. But he did not go on to become a cop.
Thank goodness.
And Orange wasn't like a proper town.
It sounds make-believe.
Well, it was kind of like where we live, Holiday Island. So it was,
which also sounds make-believe.
It super sounds yeah. make-believe. Y'all, there ain't no holiday. It's not an island. It's a man-made peninsula.
Someone asked me once if Holiday Island was like an amusement park type.
No.
Like where you had different holidays that you would celebrate and stuff. And I was like, oh, no.
No, it's just where old fun, people though. Go to
is
die.
Is it like a Christmas town?
No. You're thinking, in my brain, it almost sounded like, you know, in Pinocchio, when he goes to the island of, like, pleasures. I was like, it sound like that, yeah. but it ain't that lit.
Yeah, it's not.
No. And listen, if you live on the island, girl, you with the luxury. It's not a fucking island, it's a peninsula.
Yeah, peninsula.
I just want to say punani, mm-hmm. but peninsula. It's a peninsula, and it's man-made. There's no island. Yep. God. There's just a bunch of crappy condos. Anyway, so Orange is kind of like that. It got incorporated, became a town because the 30,000 residents there voted on it. But it was kind of, it really suffered during the financial collapse in 2008. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of the like industrial buildings and a lot of houses are abandoned. It's in decline, kind of like how Detroit was at mm-hmm. the time, because mm-hmm. that's where Maris is from. And he said it was just like Mad Max there. And it was like this in Orange too. And on September 1st, 2016, an abandoned building in Orange was on fire. And it wasn't just kind of on fire, it was an inferno. And there were other abandoned buildings nearby in the neighborhood. There were other houses like right next to it. And so like this had to be dealt with because the whole neighborhood could go up. It really could.
Right.
And basically it's around 2 a.m. So that's why the fire didn't get reported right away, because people are asleep. And so five neighboring cities ended up responding by sending trucks to the out-of-control blaze. And of course, the house was a complete loss. Once arson investigators could get inside, they found a horribly burned and mutilated body. The lead investigator said it was the most horrifically mutilated body he'd ever seen. But some of that, keep in mind, is from the fire. And I'm not so sure how much of it was done by the killer. And there are no details, so I couldn't tell you. I'm just putting it out there. Like a lot of killers, this one watched the fire in the gathered crowd. Killers, especially those who use arson to cover up their crimes, will often return to the scene of the crime to witness their handiwork. Sometimes it's for an illicit thrill. Sometimes it's kind of like, you know, out of paranoia to make sure that they're getting away with it, mm-hmm. pretty much. Mm-hmm. But the killer in this one was just chatting up the crowd, having a real good time. And oh my God, find that.
It was like he was at a show.
Yeah. And like, I find that fucked up. Like
a horse race or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Spectator.
Yeah.
Just gross. There he was, just right outside watching. The body would be identified 14 days later by her dental records. Her name was Robin West. She was a sex worker from Chester, Pennsylvania, and she was only 19 years old. Robin grew up in Philadelphia, and her young life had been very difficult. She was in and out of mental hospitals and other institutions for behavioral and assorted mental health issues. But I don't want to dwell on what like made her short life so brutal and full of pain. She was a strong woman, resourceful. She loved singing. It was absolutely stunning. She was beautiful. She visited New Jersey with a friend and had only planned to stay a few nights. As Robin and her friend were walking, a car stopped, a silver sedan. Robin's friend would later report that the driver was mild-mannered. He was polite and friendly. It put both women at ease. He asked for Robin's company that night, and she got in the car with him. And she was never seen alive again. And yes, almost all of our victims here are sex workers. And... ooh. Y'all, it just sucks so much in covering these cases when they talk about sex workers. Like, they'll throw in little jabs. You know what I mean? Like, her friends didn't want her doing this. It just feels like it puts blame on them.
Yeah.
And I hate it. There's nothing... look, I don't care what the fucking law says. Let's get that straight right now. The law can suck my dick. Sex work is getting paid time for your time. I don't see how it's any different than flipping a burger at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. You're still using your body. You're still getting paid for your time. And I know sex work could be safe if we'd legalize it, regulate it, and protect the women. I don't know why this... and the men too, let's be clear. Mm-hmm. And the queer folks, let's not count them out. I just am so tired of listening to podcasts or documentaries where they're like, well, she was a sex worker. Like, that's why she's dead. Come on. It's so fucking gross.
Right.
We're not doing that today. Mm-hmm. And like the last victim was not a sex worker. And so it's the only reason the case got attention. Like, we should all be very disgusted by that. A human being is a human being is a human being, regardless of their vocation, regardless of whether you like it or not. Everyone deserves justice. Makes me sick. On October 22nd, 2016, another victim would disappear. Joanne Brown was 33 and from Augusta, Maine. Her family moved to Newark when she was only 5 years old. Joanne struggled with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. Joanne was a sweet, warm, loving person. She was kind and a ray of sunshine. After high school, Joanne became an exotic dancer using the stage name London. She went on to do sex work. She struggled with addiction issues, but she was trying to get clean to better her situation. She had checked herself into an assisted living drug rehab. On the afternoon of the 22nd, Joanne and her friend were outside of a Popeye's Chicken in South Newark. The same silver sedan pulled up, and he pointed at Joanne. She got in the car and was never seen alive again. Joanne had left her phone at home. She asked the man driving the car if she could borrow his phone to call her friend to let her know when she'd be done and like where she was going on their date. This is something common that sex workers do. You have a safety friend and you text them or you call them and let them know where you're going, how long you're going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course she didn't know where they were going because he lied. And he had no intention of letting her go. Killer took her to an abandoned house in Orange on Highland Avenue. He'd already prepared it ahead of time before he went out, looking to pick up a sex worker. The killer wound duct tape around her head and face and then strangled her to death. The killer then called Joanne's friend and breathed into the phone and hung up. Joanne's friend tried calling the number back but never got an answer. Her body wouldn't be found for over a month.
Oh my God.
Because she's a sex worker. Nobody gives a shit.
Well, and it was an abandoned house.
Yeah, the police just didn't even look for her.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They had this fucking dude's phone number.
Right.
They didn't look
for her. They could have just tracked
it. They didn't give a shit. The police super don't give a shit in this case, and it's really infuriating. Before Joanne's body would be found in that abandoned house, the killer would claim two more lives. Tiffany Taylor was a professional dancer going to college in Florida. She ended up getting pregnant and dropped out of school and moved back to her home state of New Jersey. She did sex work to make ends meet and was living in her car. Tiffany was 33, and she had a younger man as an admirer. He was 20, 13 years younger than her, and he was just kind of obsessed with her. He was constantly haranguing her, asking her out, begging her to go on a date with him. And she was very beautiful, so I mean, I get why. But she wanted nothing to do with him. She was pregnant. He was too young. She's just trying to make it. She's just trying to get by, and this is annoying to her.
Right.
She refused his advances. But in April of 2016, it seemed he'd finally worn her down, and she agreed to go out with him if he paid. But in reality, she planned to rob him. Mm-hmm. I love this girl. She went to his house, took the money up front, and then she told him, oh, shit, I left the condoms in the car. I'll be right back. And she went and got in her car, and she drove the fuck away. Amen. 7 months later, in November of 2016, Tiffany started receiving really bizarre text messages from a number she did not recognize. The texts were begging for a hookup. And she kind of was thinking it was the young man that she'd robbed. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of sounded like the same shit he would say. And she was just like, nah, I'm good. And she got a new phone, but the text started up again.
Weird.
I know. On November 15th, 2016, he texted that he would pay any amount she requested. So she relented again and agreed to meet up with him. And once more, she planned on robbing him. But she arrived at the agreed upon motel and the man was wearing a ski mask.
Oh.
He told her he wanted to go someplace quieter, so they drove. And she was driving and he told her to pull over because he needed to urinate. And when she did so, he hit her over the head with a heavy object and handcuffed her. While she was pretty sure he was the same man who had robbed before, he confirmed it when he took off the ski mask, and she knew then that he was going to kill her. He started strangling her, but she told him to stop, that she'd left her phone in the motel, and it was just full of incriminating evidence. I love this girl. Mm. The man told her that he would take her back to the motel to get her phone, and then he would kill her. He put her in the back seat and assumed, you know, she's handcuffed, she can't get away. But because of her amazing flexibility as a dancer, and she's kind of double-jointed, she's able to slip out of them handcuffs.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So they get back to the motel, and there's CCTV footage of this. You can see them going up to the door, and he's behind her. You know, clearly he's, like, being right. threatening. She books it into that room and slams the door in his fucking face. Locking
oh,
it.
Shit.
That is such a horror movie, scary oh, fucking God. Moment. Can you imagine that shit?
I don't see how she got away with it. He was so close, I'm sure.
She's smart. Yeah. And, of course, he just loses it. He's banging and beating on the door, being, like, totally, like, crazy. But he knows she's gonna call the cops, so he runs away. She calls the police. They show up, and there's body cam footage of this, and it made me want to throw up. Because they're, like, clearly very condescending and smarmy at her. Kind of blaming her for the situation. And it's clear they do not believe her story. Not one bit. And the whole time they're there, he's across the street watching.
Fuck.
It's so scary. Fuck these cops.
Fuck.
If they had listened to Tiffany.
And this is the same guy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, so the 20-year-old is him.
It's him.
Oh.
She was trying to tell them and they just didn't care. And if they had listened to her, nobody else would have died. His next victim. Now, remember, I say two more lives and then I don't. One of the names of his victims isn't released. His count is listed as 3 to 4. So if you see that as a discrepancy, it's because I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no information released. It is suspected he may have killed more. But he was definitely ramping up during this time period.
And sometimes when victims are, even if they're just like slightly underage, like, you know, there's a lot of sex workers that are
one of
teenagers.
His victims was 15.
So that could add to.
I do think that's why that her name has not been released.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I believe she was from an African country. And I couldn't find any more information than that.
And
we're going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to leave it alone.
That's good.
Sarah Butler was a dancer, and she traveled with a professional dance troupe. She was in college in New Jersey. She was a bubbly, happy person, talented, beautiful, the lust for life. Sarah, like most young women, found herself kind of lonely on campus because she didn't really know anyone. And so she downloaded the dating app Tagged. And it boasts 30 million users, so it was popular. Now, it started kind of going downhill after the release of Tinder. And it's, I think the reason I didn't hear of it, because it's demographic, is women in their 30s and 40s who are African American. That is most of the users on Tagged. And so, of course, why would I hear of it? I'm not a Black woman. And, yeah.
It was like Black girl Tinder.
Kinda. Mm-hmm. She met a man on Tagged who went by the username Lil Yacht Rock. He offered her $500 for sex.
Yacht Rock. That's fun to say. Sorry.
Stupid. Sarah agreed. She asked him jokingly if he was a serial killer.
Oh.
On the 22nd of November, Sarah borrowed the family minivan to meet up with Lil Yacht Rock. She agreed to meet with him at the abandoned house Joanne's body was still in. She picked him up. She did not go in the house. Fucking God. But I find that sick. Like, he did that on purpose. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
God. She picked him up there, and they drove to Eagle Rock Reservation, where he would murder her. He strangled her and left her body under rocks and sticks and branches. The next day, her family was in a panic. She was not, as I mentioned, a sex worker. Now, she was in that moment. And that's okay. We're not going to judge her for that.
Right.
Her family said it was out of character, but I suspect they didn't know everything about her life. She did hem and haw a little bit in the messages, but this does not make her the morally superior victim. There's no such thing. All victims are equal. They are the victim of a crime that should not have happened to them. None of these women went into this expecting to be hurt this way.
Exactly.
To be humiliated, tortured, and killed. They didn't ask for that shit. And so it's always painted that she's the one good victim in this. And I hate this narrative. It is disgusting. They're
because
all
she
equal.
Wasn't actively on the street. She was on an app. So that makes her better than.
She was on apps. She was on the apps.
Well, that's what
know?
I mean. That's what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, but she came from a good family. She didn't have addiction issues. She wasn't a streetwalker. And
the most successful people on the planet have addiction issues. We can't.
There,
we can't
this
say
whole
that.
Idea of the perfect victim needs to die in a fire, and we never need to bring it up again.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. Full right. stop. And if people don't like that, you know where you can go. It's my butthole. That's where. Mm-hmm. So, clearly, police are not paying attention to the other murders. They
right.
super don't give a shit.
Right.
They didn't investigate the first woman's murder at all.
Mm-hmm.
They just stopped. They're like, well, we identified her body and we're done. But Sarah was a different story. And even so, she comes from a better background, according to them, and her disappearing would be very out of character. Because she's Black, they don't care.
Oh, my Lord.
The police didn't give a shit about someone going around killing Black women, most of which were sex workers, and they didn't care about her because she was Black. The end. They just didn't care. But Sarah's friends cared. And they weren't going to let this go on. Good. Samantha, a close friend of Sarah's, went to Sarah's house and logged into her laptop. These two were like thick as thieves. They had each other's passwords. And of course, she's digging around trying to find where her friend could have gone. And like, this is probably about 48 hours after she goes missing. 24 hours after she goes missing, police find her car, the minivan, and they find one of her hair extensions on the floor. And that is clearly, to me, that got ripped out of her head.
Yeah.
Women do not leave that expensive ass shit just lying on the floor of a car, okay?
Exactly.
And she had beautiful extensions. They cost money. So, but they were just like, blip, blip, they didn't care. So as Samantha's in her laptop, she pulls up Tagged. And she can see there the conversation with Lil Yacht Rock. So the rest of Sarah's friends get together. And I love this so much. They create a fake profile.
Oh, good for them.
With a picture, and they start messaging this
dude. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. And of course, he immediately offers her money for sex. And she agrees, and she's going to meet up with him. Except she is feeding all this information to police.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he agrees to meet up, and as he, you know, Of course, when he shows up, it's not a lady, it's two detectives. Now, that man was, of course, Khalil Wheeler Weaver, only 20 years old. Quiet guy. Everybody said, you know, oh, I can't believe it type of deal. But here's what grinds my gears. So they interview him right here. Mm-hmm. This is not the first time the police have interviewed him. At the other two scenes where Joanne's body was and the first woman, they interviewed him there too because he was really standing out and being a creepy creep.
Like sinister, staring at the fire.
Like behind a bush, like, ugh, you know, fuck off. And so they're interviewing him again. They let him go. They let him go. To be fair,
you're going to set this up and ambush him.
They should have brought him in and they should have fucking questioned him where the fuck was Sarah. They still have not found her at this point. We still haven't found her.
Mm-hmm. He should have been brought in for questioning.
So they let him go. Police traced Sarah's phone from where it was last used and found her body. 2 days later, Khalil was arrested.
Well, that's good.
But do you see they didn't care about the other women, like, at fucking all?
Yeah.
At all.
And he could have murdered somebody else in those 2 days, in that 2 days' time.
I believe that he did, actually.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. So he was indicted for 3 first-degree murders and 1 attempted murder. It is believed, however, that he has killed more. Investigators spent 3 years putting their case together before bringing him to trial, and Tiffany was the star witness. This was a completely circumstantial case because he had experience with law enforcement.
Tiffany was the star witness, the one that they wouldn't even
listen to, wouldn't even take a report.
Respect, like,
mm-hmm. And now they use her.
Yeah, exactly.
And how brave she was.
I mean, I'm proud of her.
Damn.
But it's just like, it's
disgusting. The whole thing is disgusting.
I don't like that.
It feels gross. Like, I know she did a good thing for other women.
Absolutely.
She saved some lives.
Absolutely. It's one of those things where it's not the action, it's the implied, like, it's
no, I totally agree with you.
You know what I mean? It just has that ickiness to it.
Gives me the ick, it does.
Because they're not going to respect her until she's useful. And that's how women are just treated.
Especially black women.
Yeah, and I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I don't like it either. It makes me really fucking pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. When I say, like, he covered his tracks, he wore gloves, he wore condoms, and in fact, only a tiny bit of his DNA was found under the fingernails of one of the victims. And so, without Tiffany, this case would not be solved. He would not have gotten any prison time. Without Sarah's friend, Samantha, he wouldn't have been caught.
Yeah.
He would not have been caught.
Yeah.
And you say, well, the police could have looked at her device. They did not give a fuck.
Yeah.
They should have had her laptop right there going through it, trying to find this missing woman.
It shouldn't have taken some friends. I mean, I will say that a girl's best friend is truly the best detective.
Amen.
Hands down.
How good am I at detecting?
Mm-hmm. Same, girl.
I get them.
Mm-hmm.
I will. Mm-hmm. I've got, like, I become Sherlock Holmes.
Yep.
And it's fun for me. I like it. I'm having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and her friends were like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just devastating to hear their witness impact statements. Like,
can you imagine? Like, I mean, they know the cops aren't really paying attention. They really don't care.
No.
And so they're behind the scenes doing all of this fucking detective work.
Yep.
They could have been killed.
Oh, yeah. That was dangerous.
Easily.
Yeah. But they loved their friend.
Absolutely.
So he got 160 years in prison. He'll
Good.
Never get out.
Good.
His sentencing was in 2021, and he told the court that he was framed.
Framed.
He showed zero. And when I say zero, I mean negative zero emotion the entire trial. Mm. Not a tear, not a quiver, not a grimace, nothing. Nothing. When he was sentenced, nothing. He looked dead, just dead eyes. And he wasn't even impassioned speaking in his own defense, just flat. Like, no remorse is in this man. No remorse. He fucking hated women. Clearly. To me, this is a person who hated women.
Yeah. And he would have done it continuously.
Oh, yeah.
As much as humanly possible.
Yeah. I don't know, that's a little short, but I found what I liked about this one is that the dating app was used to catch him. That's what I liked about this one. It was a nice little twist.
Yeah, and the best friends.
Yes, I liked that as well. I'm sorry they had to step up that way.
Yeah.
And I always, like, this is why I don't, y'all, cover a lot of serial killer cases, because they do pick on sex workers, because they know that no one cares.
Right.
No one cares when we die. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, yeah, I'm not a sex worker anymore, but I was one for a long time. And so, I mean, I still sort of identify as one, because I know it's so shameful. And I know we have sex workers listening, because you've all have reached out to me. And I want you all to not feel ashamed and to stay safe, of course. And to keep doing what you're doing. Make your money however you gotta. Yeah. I ain't gonna judge you.
I really hope that we can collectively together end the stigma.
Yes.
Of, you know, the invisible victim. Like, that's stupid.
Stupid. Mm-hmm. It's not a moral thing.
No.
And if you think it is, I just don't care.
I mean, there's... I don't see how it could be a moral thing if there's two sides to the transaction.
If we are both consenting adults and we agree this is what we're going to do.
Literally.
And you're going to give me a little money.
You're paying for it.
Don't tell me it's any different.
It and you're paying for a service. That's like that's like hating people with busted pipes because they called a plumber. Like,
I see it no different.
Exactly.
I'm having more fun than the plumber.
That's true.
I'm not digging around in poop usually.
Getting a little less dirty. Than the plumber.
Usually. Look, as a dom, I did some wild shit.
I bet you
I
have.
Hurt some people.
They
asked for it.
Details.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. If you're a sex worker and you're listening, hey, I love you, and you're not shameful, and you're good, and you deserve respect and love and care, and if something ever happened to you, that shouldn't be something people say with derision in their voice. They need the respect in their voice.
Absolutely.
Because it's a job just like anything else. Mm-hmm. So, know it. Know it. Mm-hmm. And join our Discord. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah, do it. Come talk to me. That is a judgment-free zone, by the way. Yeah. Anybody come at any of my friends sideways in my Discord and you are banned. But first you're mocked within an inch of your existence.
And
trust.
After.
Oh, we will talk shit. Mad shit about you when we kick you out. Listen. I'm really good at mocking. So don't force it out of me. Just come in the safe space. You can come in here. You can talk. You can share some silly memes. Show me what you made for dinner. Show me your pets. And hang out. It's very... I'm sorry. I'm dying.
It's so
I'm like
wholesome.
Burping. It's disgusting.
Yeah, we just had dinner.
Yes, it's late. And I just had dinner. But it's how I do. Anyway, love you guys. And, oh shit, there's more business time. I'm like out
there?
Of it. I just can't
breathe. I know, I'm food high. I'm like...
I'm over that part now,
I'm
but I'm just
from
sleepy.
All the stuff in my belly.
I'm actually getting up in the day and I have a job.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
My job is so weird. I can't even describe
it. What is the other business time that you said?
Oh, here's the business time. Yeah, look, you have to steer me back because of the ADHD. I'm just wandering away. I don't have a lot of business. Join our Patreon, join our Discord. If you're listening on YouTube, please like and subscribe and notification bell. Yes, that's annoying to hear. No one likes it, but y'all, it helps.
It does.
We're poor up in here. Had to get a regular job. Disgusting. So please...
Everyone's listening on their way to work and like, yep.
Well, I want to make it clear. Like, so when I say regular job, I'm saying my art wasn't paying the bills anymore because AI ruined my career and life.
And so you...
And now I work for AI. Ha ha, fuck you. What am I supposed to do? Just starve based on principles?
Can't
I don't
beat
have
them,
principles
them.
If my children are hungry. There we go. If you can't beat them, and y'all, we cannot beat them. I've seen some shit. So you might as well just give in and let the robot fuck you right in the ass.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Because it will be soon. And you'll be asking it too.
Okay.
Anyway, hey! I love you. I love you like you love getting fucked in the ass by a robot.
I don't, though, so...
You might. No. What if he was really hot and he said all the right things and made you a sandwich after? And it's... That dick got sentence. Like, you vibrate, twirling.
It's probably cold.
No, it warm. He warms it up for you. He's considerate. I'm here for it. That's second husband. Second consort.
I need flesh.
It'll feel fleshy.
Ew. Okay, I'm done.
She's going to get herself an AI husband, and I support it. She says no now, but you just mark this. y'all, mark it on your calendar, the date that she said no, and we'll see later. Anyway, I'm being foolish and I'm going to go now. Bye.
Us on your social media platform of choice. Linktree/cruelty has all the links. Check out our Patreon for exclusive episodes, merch, ad-free episodes, live ghost hunts, and much more. Please be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded weekly. Thank you so much. See you next time. Music and production by Libby.